This is Rod Peterson on demand. Now,
I just want to say, I knew that we'd be the envy of all every football guy in Canada.
How about that?
With this XFL gear that we got. This is hot, 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 hot. I look like the damn general manager of the XFL. Hey. I'm so excited. It's all beautiful. Rod the Rock Peterson. I wouldn't go that far, but I love the Rock. I love me some Dwayne Johnson.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
It is. Thank you very much, Rick Regan, and welcome inside the bunker, everybody. Happy Tuesday, Canada, and to Canadian sports fans around the continent. I'm Rod. He's Darren DuPont, and we are in the air. How you doing, sir?
We are. I'm great.
How's the coffee?
Always good.
Caliber coffee today?
Yeah, delicious.
Hope people are ready to talk sports. We got a big show today with a late addition to the program. Pre-scheduled. Where the heck is my sheet? Here it is. Pre-scheduled by Clark. James Duthie of TSN. He's got a new book out, don't you know?
I heard.
He's going to be coming up later on in here in hour one. Formerly the host of the CFL on TSN. Now, insider trading and Maple Leafs and Senators broadcast. James Duthie will be with us from Toronto. Nick Kiprios, who needs no introduction. Stanley Cup champion with the New York Rangers. Kipper's going to be with us. And Barrett Croft, good friend of mine, head coach of the Trinity Western Spartans, Canada West hockey program out in Vancouver, or specifically Langley, BC, will join us. He's going to break some news today for university sports in Canada. So I'm excited about that. And a live guest, which I'll get to in a minute. But and just before the quick six show topics, I got to say this bunny hug that I'm wearing here right now isn't as faded and old as it looks. This is brand new. Isn't it stylish that you can wear something that looks old? Isn't that the way they're supposed to do it?
Yeah, exactly.
I ate at the Mad Greek. You can see it. It's from the Mad Greek in Moose Jaw. I ate at the Mad Greek. I think if you put down the 96-ounce steak, they send it home with you.
See, I was going to say, you eat like the suicide supper or something and like you yes. get the T-shirt?
Yes. But I want to say I was on the air last night or on a podcast, the Enterprise podcast in Philadelphia. And I want to say good day, not good morning, but I guess good afternoon to all our friends watching in Philly. Because Dan Saravelli, he's the cousin of Frank Saravelli. TSN's Frank Saravelli, the baby-faced assassin, stumbled across our show channel surfing in Philadelphia on Game Plus TV Network. Says, I got to get you on the show. And so we did it last night. And you know what he wanted to talk about? All the things that we talk about here, ironically.
Who knew?
Is there going to be a CFL season? Let's talk about the Flyer greats that are from your area. Brian Propp, Ron Hextall, Bobby Clark. What can you tell me about these guys? I was just thinking when we did that, it was so much fun. And I thought, you know, we have a lot of things to celebrate and be happy about. And we always will, because this is where hockey players come from. And the Canadian Football League is a big deal. So to use a DuPont term, let's lean into it. Because interestingly, he wasn't asking me about the Raptors or the Blue Jays or Toronto FC. He's been watching the show in Philly, and he enjoys what we talk about here. So there's a lesson to be learned in that, is there not?
Absolutely.
We got a heck of a lot to be grateful for. And I'll just say this. For some reason, something's happened with our Facebook feed. So every comment that comes in, you often see me looking up to the big board here for the comments from the viewers. It's just eggs beside every single comment. I can try and guess who the comments are coming from. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh. You've been pretty good at it before.
Yes.
Huh.
Good morning. It's Coffee Break in Burns Lake, BC. Have a great show. It's going to be the longest coffee break ever. 2 hours that you're watching this show. Here's one. I'm not from Philly, but my late father was from Pennsylvania and was a big Philly sports fan. You know, people have said, you got to get on TSN and Sportsnet with the RP show. No, 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 no. We're growing with Game Plus. We said, 6 months ago, our fastest growing region was Ontario. Now it's America. That's some exciting stuff. Why limit ourselves to the 49th parallel?
And we can have all the guys from both those places on our show.
Yes.
It's great.
So it's pretty exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty exciting.
I think so.
Noogsy says, love you, boys. Love you too, Noogsy. He's the voice of the Notre Dame Hounds hockey program. Is very in a very warm and fuzzy mood today.
Who had Noogsy on your bingo card figuring out, being the first one to figure out how to get his name read on the air?
Yeah, put that your name on there and we'll read it. Good afternoon from Ottawa, where it's sunny there. Okay, let's go. Enough! Mickey Mousen. Let's get to the quick six show topics. Let's go, Jordan. Thank you. No laughing matter here. Number one, David Brayley passing away just as we got off the air yesterday. The owner of the BC Lions. Listen, I see people saying he's a CFL legend. He has been the CFL for 30 years. So I wanted to get somebody on from BC, and I thought, who's been our biggest supporter with the Lions out there, the RP show? Well, none other than Matt Baker, the host of BC Lions TV. I think he spent some time as the Lions public address announcer. He's an in-house guy. Matt Baker, Bakes Takes, is going to be with us coming up in segment two to talk about David Brayley, the man. And I'll recount some of my stories, too. So earth-shattering news in the CFL. Not necessarily good news. Bad news, as a matter of fact, but David Brayley passing. And then to point two, hours after David Brayley passes, news comes out that Joey Moss passed away at the age of 57. The longtime Edmonton Oilers and Eskimos locker room attendant. And for those of us old enough to know, and those of us of Oiler fandom, I was telling you guys earlier how this all came about. Wayne Gretzky was dating Vicky Moss, a blossoming singer in Edmonton in the 80s. And Wayne would bring her brother, Joey, by the locker room just because. Wayne left, Joey stayed. You know? And became a fixture. So the whole city of Edmonton, sports community, and those that know of Joey in, into a deep state of mourning. So wasn't a great Monday in the world of sports. 2.3, Monday Night Football, Rams romping the Bears 24-10. I'm laughing because I didn't see a snap. We were playing slow pitch at Baller's Rec Room. Watching election coverage, by the way. Didn't watch the game. I guess the Bears, they're not who we thought they were, but they're not who we thought they might have been either.
Right.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah, not much to talk about when it comes to that football game.
No.
The offense, I mean, is nowhere to be found.
2.4, Western Hockey League stars to SJHL continues. Just to lean into our bread and butter, because that's a topic that doesn't get covered much now in mainstream media. I was tipped off yesterday that Portland Winterhawks star forwards Reese Newkirk and Jaden Duroy are going to the Melville Millionaires. They were reporting yesterday. So while some SJHL teams are screaming bloody murder, some SJHL fans and players' parents that these WHL stars are coming and taking their spots, some teams are still doing it. The Prince Albert Raiders announcing yesterday they were loaning two players to the Flin Flon Bombers. Look, folks, it's not going away. I'll have to say this. I don't necessarily know how I feel about it. I've heard from the fans in Weyburn that are saying it's pay to play now with the Weyburn Red Wings. There's fans, sorry, parents paying thousands of dollars for their kids to play on the Red Wings, and their kids are in the stands for WHL players. It's not right. Like the phrase that keeps echoing in my mind, Darren, is if you think life's going to be fair, you are going to go through life very disappointed. There's something about the pecking order that is better. I learned it a long time ago from famed CFL coach Bobby Vespasiani, who would say in his Massachusetts Boston accent, better is better. So I'm sorry. The Melville coach and GM, Mike Rooney, told me yesterday he feels that those players coming in, Newkirk and Duroy, mesh with the attributes of what they want that franchise to be. And don't talk about loyalty when the goalie of the year last year, the Melville Millionaires, Berkelev, flies the coop and goes to play junior hockey in New Jersey. There's no loyalty either way. So I guess for you players who are paying to play in some markets, if you're upset you're not playing, you can leave.
There's no right to play junior hockey.
No.
Junior hockey is a privilege, right? Junior hockey is the upper echelon. That's what you aspire to. And it's never given, right? It has to be earned. They're not saying you can't play hockey. They're not taking away somebody's opportunity to play hockey. There's plenty of other, you know, places to play hockey, I'm sure. But if you want to play junior hockey, then you have to earn it. You have to be good enough.
And just because you're paying to be there doesn't give you a right to be in the first, second, third, or fourth line.
That's right.
Or even be in the lineup. So I'm sorry. All things being equal, I'm not in favor of the WHL players playing in junior A. I don't understand why they're doing it.
Right.
But I also understand how the game goes. I understand how sports goes. So come December 20th, you guys will have your spots back. And if you're still there, you'll be skating.
It's really not a big deal. Like, and we're talking about a matter of a few weeks here.
No, right? But they've been skating since the first week of September practicing, and they're in games, and now they can't play because they've been bumped. I get why their nose might be out of joint, but again, if you somehow think life's going to be fair all the time, you're going to go through life very disappointed. They're learning some painful life lessons pretty early. Mm-hmm. Point five, World Series, Game 6 goes tonight. Could end. Do you think it will?
No, I don't. Just based on the way everything's gone in this series, something will happen and it won't end. That's just my gut feeling. My gut feeling is it won't.
I'll be watching tonight for lack of anything else to watch. That's all I can say about baseball in the World Series.
Yep.
I don't know who is writing this in because it's come up as an egg in their profile, but it says, loyalty in sports? Are you kidding me? Let them play hockey. This pandemic isn't going away soon, unfortunately. Oh, it's John Ohm in Winnipeg. There's no loyalty in sports. So the sooner you get over that and realize everybody's doing what's best for themselves, and by the way, sports is a like microcosm of life. Everybody's doing what's best for themselves right now. We're all in it together.
Right.
The biggest fallacy of 2020. We're all in this together.
Sure.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Point six, CFL Sim, final week of the regular season. This is massive. Our eSports CFL Gaming League. The poll question today, which is Canada's game of the week? Saskatchewan at Calgary, Edmonton at Toronto, Winnipeg at Montreal, or BC at Hamilton. I can tell you it's must win for Edmonton, Winnipeg, and BC. So any one of those games involving those teams, I could make a case for as the game of the week. But guess who's running away with it? Saskatchewan at Calgary.
What?
So, hey, I've been checking the forecast, Darren. It's going to be +4 and cloudy Thursday night at McMahon Stadium. We're going to be broadcasting the game Thursday, 7 p.m. Talk to Cody. I talked to the real Cody Fajardo last night, by the way, the star quarterback for Saskatchewan. He'll be going up against Bo Levi Mitchell, Cobra Kai Mitchell, because the Stamps are trying to avoid a three-game losing streak heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, you got
the old rest versus rust argument, right?
Yep, absolutely. He's going to get some rest if they get the first. They got the bye, right?
So yes,
he'll get the rest.
So these are our topics. You can vote on that, but it's going to be Rider Stamps. It's a runaway. Coming up, by the way, off the top of our second segment will be Matt Baker from the BC Lions to talk about the life and the career of David Brayley. Brayley the man. Matt worked for him for many years. I just hung around David Brayley. I've said it many times. I'll say it again for those that weren't watching in the past. The Rough Riders stayed in the Hyatt Hotel, Regency Hyatt, downtown Vancouver. Beautiful hotel. I think it's at the corner of Burrard and Georgia. Gorgeous hotel. Probably the nicest I've ever stayed in. Brayley would stay there, too. He would fly in from Hamilton to catch his Lions play. He would sit in the lobby, and he would talk to a squirrel about nuts when it comes to CFL. He would sit there and talk all day about the BC Lions. Here's a guy that I believe had FU money, so he could just buy a sports team, fly out there to watch it, and have fun. You know what I mean? I don't think there was ever any end of the money that David Brayley had. So when I read some of the articles yesterday that go back to the 80s and he bought the Ticats off Harold Ballard because Ballard couldn't make any money, I thought if this league couldn't make any money 30 years ago, how far back does this go? Why can't this league make money? That's why my phone was blowing up with CFL people yesterday saying, how do things change now with Brayley gone? I thought, great topic, now's not the time. Fair.
Yeah.
Right? Let's talk about the legacy of David Brayley and look forward after the fact, after he's properly feted with all of what he deserves. So anyways, those are our quick six show topics and all that. And here's a bonus that I told you guys I was going to bring up. I'm watching SportsCenter, as I always do, riding away on my stationary bike Tour de Rod today. And I see Craig Button and who is the other one doing their top seven Canadian NHL teams. Anybody see that? On SportsCenter? Doesn't matter because they're all wrong. Oh, it was Mark Johnson. Mark Johnson and Craig Button with their, Mike Johnson, sorry, with their top seven Canadian teams, and they were all wrong. Craig had Montreal as the number one team.
What?
Mike Johnson had the Leafs.
What?
So here we go. Rod Peterson's top seven Canadian NHL teams. And by the way, I'm not talking about talent. And maybe that's what Mike Johnston was, because he said they're the most talented team. I'm talking about the team out of Canada that has the best chance to win the Stanley Cup when they begin play in 2021. Here's mine. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know you got yours.
Oh, yeah.
And producer Clark has his. And I want the viewers to chime in on Twitter, Facebook. Sign your name, too. And here we go. Number one, are you ready? The Calgary Flames.
Whoa. What?
I feel like Lee Corso here. Ta-da! I know, it hurts. I hate the Calgary Flames. They got Jacob Markstrom, the best goalie in free agency. They didn't really lose anybody that I saw.
Yeah.
They were a pretty good team in the playoffs, except for the implosion against Dallas. And the Calgary Flames have learned some very painful, valuable lessons the last two playoff years. They're climbing the mountain, a la Tampa Bay Lightning. The Calgary Flames are Canada's best team. Change my mind. Number two, the Montreal Canadiens, as their GM Marc Bergevin, probably won free agency out of all the Canadian teams for sure. Number three, Canada's team, the Edmonton Oilers. Ta-da! Oh, this is random, by the way. I wasn't ready for this.
We got props for everything.
One Calgary, two Montreal, three Edmonton, four the Winnipeg Jets. Tell them you got the best goalie in the NHL. It's a pretty good place to start.
Yep.
Number five, the Toronto Maple Leafs. Why are they fifth? Because they're the Toronto Maple Leafs. Until you actually do something,
fair.
Don't talk to me. Point six, the Vancouver Canucks. Fire bending is a thing. They're not dumb out there in Vancouver, the hockey fans. And number seven, everybody's got Ottawa last. I mean everybody. How are we on time, Clark? 2 minutes. Over to you, sir.
We got Ottawa last. I think we can start there.
We can all agree there.
I actually picked Vancouver first.
Okay.
Just based on their recent playoff success and the young core still there together. They did lose some big pieces, though, to Foley leaving, and I don't like that. But you know what? They got the right coach. That's why I've got Vancouver. And I like Braden Holtby in goal and what they've done in goal. I know they lost Markstrom, but I still have faith in the Canucks. I got the Leafs second just because of the high-end talent. Calgary third. Edmonton fourth. Montreal fifth.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Vancouver one.
Toronto two.
Yeah.
Calgary three.
Yeah.
Edmonton four.
Yeah.
Montreal five.
Mm-hmm.
Then Winnipeg and Ottawa. Winnipeg's down simply because the Line A situation. I just don't feel that they've gotten a whole lot better in the offseason and didn't play very well. So that's what I have for my top seven.
From Don in Central Ontario, he says, I'm a Flames fan, and even I still pick Vancouver. Come on. Clark, do you want to put yours up on the screen? Can I read them? Oh, you texted me them? What do you got?
But man, was this tough.
Ah, here they are. I didn't see it. I didn't open my phone. Here is Clark Monroe's top seven NHL teams in Canada. The Vancouver Canucks, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Montreal Canadiens, the Edmonton Oilers, the Calgary Flames, the Winnipeg Jets, and the Ottawa Senators. How would you like to be Ottawa? You are roundly considered the worst team in your country.
I know.
That wouldn't feel very good. Those are ours. What are yours? Tweet us, Facebook us, and I appreciate you playing along. This has been the warm-up. You're watching the RP Show across North America on Game Plus TV Network. And when we come back, we'll chat David Braley with Matt Baker of the BC Lions. You're also watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Yeah, I'm leaving my Flames jersey right at the front because I have them as Canada's number one team in the National Hockey League. Dupes is the Vancouver Canucks. And there's our face-off, by the way. And you didn't even know it was coming.
I know.
For the Mad Greek in Moose Jaw and the Ultimate Fan Zone. Can you guys get the graphic ready for that? Visit the Mad Greek as I did. See this hoodie? No, you can't now. I ate at the Mad Greek. Visit the Mad Greek in Moose Jaw for the best authentic Greek cuisine. Available for licensed dining, takeout, or delivery. Head to themadgreekeatery.com for more information. Or the Ultimate Fan Zone, home of the home teams, jerseys, caps, and team apparel. They are your officially licensed fan store in Moose Jaw, built by the fans for the sports fans in Southern Saskatchewan. They can also, by the way, get U.S. merch. Pay no duty, pay no shipping at Ultimate Fan Zone. It's just unbelievable. Okay, let's go to Vancouver now. As promised, Matt Baker, longtime employee of the BC Lions, and that means a longtime employee of one, David Braley, who passed yesterday at the age of 79. Bakes Takes, good morning, sir. How are you?
Rod, doing well, all things considered out here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, my condolences. Yeah, my condolences to you and the entire BC Lions organization, because I know what Mr. Braley has meant to the franchise. When the news came down yesterday, how was it received in your offices?
Yeah, you know, as you can imagine, you know, even though knowing he'd been battling some health issues for a long time, and man, the guy was a fighter. There's no denying that. But yeah, always once it happens, it's always very sad. Bit of a gut punch, and yeah, I mean, I haven't been with this club as long as others who have had the good fortune of working for Mr. Braley for these past 24, 25 years, I guess it was. And you know, just researching his background and everything, you know, I knew full well what he did for this franchise. I'm a guy who grew up in Greater Vancouver, attended games as a kid, was there at BC Place when they announced 12,000, and in reality it was maybe half of that. And this is the man who saved the franchise, saved the CFL. But I was also very impressed to learn more about his legacy outside of that, everything he did with philanthropy, McMaster, you know, the various awards and other halls of fame that he's in outside of the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. When something like this happens, you know, it's always sad, and like I said, very much a gut punch, but you know, you realize the true impact this man had across Canada, not just with our football league.
It's going to be strange being at Grey Cups and at games, even in BC, with Mr. Mm-hmm. Braley not there. And my take on him was always, we knew that he made his millions, kajillions in auto parts, and the CFL yeah. was just kind of fun for him. We all know that he wasn't making money that way. We all get it. We all know the story. But do you have a personal story? Because mine is just simply visiting with him in the lobby of the Hyatt. He'd have his BC Lions windbreaker on. We'd be going to the game at the same time. That's where he stayed when he was in town to watch his beloved Lions, which there's, I don't think there's much he loved more. What was your interaction with him like?
Yeah, you know what's odd, Rod? I don't recall any conversations with him that I had that were really about football or the team. You know, the guy, you know, was as rich as he was. And it was just normal conversation. How's the family? I think we talked a bit of hockey one time, too. It was kind of funny. But I'll tell you, I jumped a year too late because I always heard about going to Hamilton, and he would have everyone, the team, the medical staff, the coaches, even Lowell or whoever the beat writers were covering the team, he'd have them over to his place for a barbecue. Unfortunately, I missed that by a year, but I was lucky a couple times. He had the team out to a restaurant there in Hamilton. He wasn't quite well enough to host at his house, but you know, credit to the man, he always stood up, and you could hear it in his voice, see it in his eyes, how proud of the team was. Doesn't matter what the record was, win, loss, or draw. Whenever this man spoke about the team, about the BC Lions, you could just feel it, how emotionally invested he was with this club. And yeah, other than that, and our conversations just being normal, that'll be my biggest takeaway about the man.
I'm envious of that. That's the fun thing about working for private owners versus community-owned teams. The private owners, you can do that. The community-owned teams don't really want to spend the money on something like that. But I've been in Hamilton. I've been down for lunch on the water, and my good friend Leo Ezrins, who's watching right now, you know Leo, the CFL alumni executive director, pointed out across the water. He's like, that's Braley's house over there. You know, big mansion on the shores of that Lake Ontario. No, it's a hell of a story. And I just know how much the people loved him that worked for him. And it will be strange, right? Because he did stroll around Grey Cups like He wasn't just a CFL legend, as the commissioner said. I feel, Matt, he was the CFL for the last 25, 30 years. Like, that's a void that will never be filled.
Yeah, you mentioned the CFL again, and I remember a time working at the time it was Team 1040, and I think it was Naylor and Sakaris at the Globe and Mail at the time breaking the story of how he was financially supporting the Argos, and naturally that was met with not great reaction from everybody. You know, people talk about how that looks and how the optics, but you realize again, Rod, that is David Braley in a nutshell. He cared passionately about this league, and he of course ended up owning the Toronto Argonauts not too long after that as well. So that you know, some of the reaction for that story may have been a little misguided, but anyway, that just goes to show you, Toronto Argonauts, he rescued the Tiger Cats. You've been to Hamilton recently, as have I. It's always a party there at Tim Hortons Field. They love it, but there was a time where it wasn't great at all, and he bought them in the late 80s, and I think he signed Damon Allen right before selling the team, and that kind of set them on the path to rebuilding. So it's not just the Lions and the Argos. It's his hometown Hamilton Tiger Cats, and not just the CFL again. He kept pro soccer alive in the Vancouver market. He bought the Vancouver 86ers, as they were known at the time, I think in the late 90s, and hung on to them, and You can talk to a guy like Craig Smith, Neil McAvoy, other longtime Lions employee. They'll tell you a time in our offices where the soccer people were in there working too. They had Bobby Leonarduzzi in those offices because Mr. Braley had the soccer team. So I think you took the words out of my mouth there. This is a guy who was the CFL. It will be weird, God willing, 2021, if ironically it'd be in Hamilton, the Grey Cup, right? Be weird not having Mr. Braley's presence at Canada's national party, if you will. But just learning over the last 24 hours just how brilliant a man he was. And even quick little story, last year, February or March, we're out in Toronto covering the Combine and had a Saturday night off and found myself a ticket to the Maple Leafs game, just making small talk with a middle-aged gentleman in the food lineup. And where are you from? Oh, Vancouver, BC Lions. And the guy kind of gives me one of those, oh, so you must know David Braley. I said, well, he's our owner, absolutely. And this was a guy who claimed to have worked with him on some project at McMaster a few years ago. And this guy was in awe talking about his dealings with David, and even though they were quite limited. And that's kind of another takeaway. Just if you're in the same room with him, he had a presence about him, but there was also a very down-to-earth factor as well.
No doubt. Hey, lastly, just before I let you go, just how are my peeps with the Lions doing with no football? How are you guys and gals?
Hey, it's been a tough year. Everyone, and you know, times like this, it makes you realize one of the reasons we do this, why we wear the orange, is because we're passionate about it. And we all wanted to be playing this year, as were a lot of your viewers in Saskatchewan and everybody else. And, you know, heck, we, what, 3-4 weeks out from in Regina right now. So times like this, Roddy, it hits home, but everyone here is holding up strong, and we appreciate your thoughts, and we're all going to get through it together. So,
absolutely, and we are. And for sure, I love the BC Lions. There's no doubt, plus all the things you guys have done for us. Matt, thanks for the visit. Stay safe, and do not be a stranger, sir.
Never a stranger. I appreciate you getting me on, and I'll leave you with this one. Again, you're talking about a takeaway, and this one was one I just thought of, too. Ironically, my first road trip with the team in 2016 was in Hamilton, and week two, 28-3 win, defensive domination. But Mr. Braley at the time, I think he was home, but he had been in poor health. And you know how close Wally was to him and the family. So our game balls presentation, I'm paraphrasing here, but he basically said, guys, we did this for our owner, and I know he's going to feel better watching this beatdown. And it was, who hadn't met him yet and probably would never meet him, they realized how significant it was. So appreciate it getting us on as always, and we'll strive to be better in 2021 in his honor.
Sounds good. Thank you, Bakes.
Okay, fellas.
Bakes Takes, Matt Baker for the BC Lions joining us. And from some of the comments that have come in before we break. He certainly saved the league on more than one occasion, probably spent tens of million dollars on the CFL. I'm not sure who these comments are from because their icons are not coming up. Oh, that was from Jeff the Stamps fan. David Braley, for the next one. David Braley, by all accounts, was a tough and demanding businessman, but his heart was kind and in the right place. Comments too long for me to read it all. It cuts off. Thank you, Clark, for the great guests, plus Rod and Dupe's great Tuesday show. Really enjoy this show and so grateful you all put this together. So needed. That's from Donna Berger. If you guys can roll and tell me who these people are that are writing in, that would be great. Next one. Braley is a great Canadian. Order of Canada is not a high enough decoration for that man. That's from Donald Mitchell, our Navy friend. Next one, I would hope Braley will have a CFL award named after him. And I'm sure he will. There was talk about that yesterday. That's from Jeff the Stamps fan. And just one more. Mandy in Edmonton says, Matt's doing an awesome job for the Lions. Thanks for coming on to pay tribute to Mr. Braley. That's what I said to Bakes Takes. Let's come on and talk about David Braley, the man. Not the resume. The man. Because the resume doesn't tell you about the man. When we come back, James Duthie of TSN, which, yeah, we all know him as the host of Insider Trading. We all know him as the host of the World Juniors. But how many of you remember that he was the host of the CFL on TSN? He might have some Braley stories, too. Why not put them all on the table today? It's Canada's Daytime Sports Talk Show, episode number 347. We'll return in a moment on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. We'll get to a sports update in a moment. Do you want to read what was just on Tom Brady's Instagram story? Is it sending everybody nuts? You can paraphrase.
I don't know if it is, but basically what Tom Brady said, I got to hear. He put on his Instagram story, more suicide deaths than coronavirus deaths last 2 months. So wash your hands, wear your masks, but don't forget to be nice to people and look after yourself. Truth. So,
Tom Brady wading into coronavirus. Oh no. Yeah. Tom, I wish you would have asked. Don't. I mean, I get it, but yeah.
But he's right. It's important.
Yeah.
Really important.
We'll get to a sports update in a moment. We had James Duthie, and then Clark just said, hang on for a minute for James Duthie. I just did a real quick wardrobe change in the bathroom. These bunny hugs are now available at rodpetersonshop.com. Thank you, TG Marketing. And also thank you to the Mad Greek, which was the one I had on earlier. Just a quick one from our viewers. Rod, did you ever meet Edmonton legend Joey Moss, who sadly passed away yesterday? Well, for sure. Every time the Rough Riders went to Edmonton, Joey was working the Eskimo locker room. And then Jordan Eberle took me through the Oilers dressing room one time. Joey was there. I mean, what a great place to go to work every day. Commonwealth Stadium in Northlands.
I'd say.
Joey, an absolute legend. So as much as the CFL's mourning David Braley, for sure, Edmonton. And the NHL and the Oilers community with Joey Moss. Let's go out to James Duthie for hopefully some happy talk today. James Duthie joins us in Southern Ontario. How you doing, James?
What's going on, boys? How are you?
Everything. Hey, we're going to talk about your book in a second. But if I may, did you have a brush with David Braley at some point with all the Grey Cups and CFL things that you worked? You must have.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I didn't get to know him at all. Like, I think maybe some of the guys, the Dave Naylors and so, that cover the league on a regular basis, but definitely interviewed him a couple of times. And I know that certainly people in ownership spoke of him so highly. And it speaks for itself when you've had a piece of three different franchises. And we didn't, like, in the TV side, we didn't always agree with him, because particularly when it came to blackouts, that was one of his stances that I know TSN never agreed with, that he wanted blackouts to sell more tickets. But beyond that, I think you could say he literally saved the league a couple of different times.
Oh, there's no doubt. And hey, I can't wait to get into Brayley's legacy that way and how CFL business will change. That's what everybody's talking about in the league right now. But I said, hey, let's just talk about him, the man, for a bit, and then we'll look into that. Because, yeah, things, I think, will change. Because he did run things with an iron fist. And I think it was an old-school way of doing things. But you just heard Darren Reed, Tom Brady's comment about coronavirus versus suicide deaths. It's an argument I've been saying. Forget 2 months, Tom. Let's look at the stats over 8 months. But your thoughts on Tom coming out and saying that today, if you will.
I don't know. I think Tom's political leanings are probably that way to an extent. It's interesting, a week before the election, that perhaps he weighs in that way. but, Rod, I do my best to stay out of this stuff.
You really do?
As far as the political sides of things, I've learned many a valuable lesson, and I bite my tongue. These have been frustrating. Everybody's frustrated with being locked up or having restaurants shut down or being stuck at home. We all want this thing over with, whatever way we can get it over with.
Well, I tell you what, man, you're smart and you're good. You're good. Like, you're from Ottawa. You must have some political thoughts. Like, is it really hard to not tweet? Cause come on, Farhan and Naylor, they let it rock. A lot of guys do.
Some people do. And quite honestly, if I really felt strongly about something, I would, I think. But quite often, I just think things are so, social media in particular is such a dangerous place that everything gets misinterpreted. I don't think you can say anything, even if it's 100% correct, that's not going to upset at least 40% of the population. And so I just don't think it's the proper place for discourse, just for me personally, that way. You know, I'd rather sit down and have a beer with someone and have a conversation, and we'll hash out whatever our differences are.
It isn't the proper place. But I will say this, Brett Wilson told me, you know, Brett, star of Dragon's Den. I said, how do you deal with the haters, man? And you're so right wing, so conservative. He goes, listen, at least I know they're listening. If I had no hate, then nobody'd be listening to me. And I thought, well, that's certainly one way of putting it. Hey, just before we talk about your book, James, World Juniors, Edmonton this year. Dregs just said on the show here yesterday, it's not like 100% that it's done. What are you booking travel plans? What are your thoughts on World Juniors this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're 100% booking. We intend to be in the bubble the entire time. And it's always my favorite event of the year, Rod, so I'm hoping it happens. I would say this, and this is just layman's point of view. I think the biggest challenge is going to be to get all of those players on their planes in their respective countries, relatively healthy without an outbreak. Once everyone is on the plane, on their charters, headed towards Edmonton, I think that we'll be fine. And just like the NHL, once everyone's in the bubble and gets tested, I have no fears. It's getting the teams on the plane. Like, that would be my greatest fear, is if one of the countries, there's an outbreak or something, and they have 9 guys test positive and can't get on the plane or something along those lines. But I think if we can get all the players to the bubble, that we'll have a tournament. It'll be weird like everything else, but it'll be great.
It's exactly what Dreg said, and I think December 13th was the date that he said. That's the big date that everybody's got circled, is December 13th, that they arrive in Edmonton. Right. Now to your book. Tell us about it.
Well, it's called Beauties, Hockey's Greatest Untold Stories, and basically spending 18 years on the panel, Rod, next to Hall of Famers and coaches and basically everybody. And, you know, everybody sees our intermissions and the pregame shows at home, but pretty much the funnest part of the job for me is sitting with feet up on the desk watching the games with these guys, and they end up telling you tons of stories that they won't tell on television. And I often said, if you could just put all those in a book. There's a million hockey books out there, autobiographies, and there's always a couple of good stories in them, but you have to kind of go through the old, you know, I was born and raised in Regina and all that stuff. I said, if we could just have a book that is just great stories. And so I asked basically 60 guys, I said, just tell me your favorite hockey story. If we were sitting in a bar, a bunch of guys, we had you there, and I said, just tell me the best hockey story that you have. And that's basically what the book is.
Well, okay, so what's the split on how many are on the ice versus off the ice? Because I'm getting the same thing in the pandemic.
I sat down and done the math. It ends up there's 57 stories in the book. I'm going to say 50-50, and quite a bit of it, quite a bit of the stories have both, right? Like, I'll give you an example, because we did the podcast last week, so this is kind of out there. We're doing a podcast along with the book. Not that I'm not going to share all the book stories in the podcast. I still want you to buy the book. But John Cooper, the coach of the Stanley Cup champs, told an amazing story. Basically, when he was coaching the Syracuse Crunch, Dustin Tokarski was his goalie. He got carjacked at knife point. And then there was a car chase between the police and the carjacker. Tokarski was at the police station. They had a big game in Binghamton that night. It was an hour away. Basically, Cooper stays at the car at the police station all day with Tokarski. They race to the game. They get there late. Cooper's late for the game. He says to Tokarski, you go sit in the dressing room. He's got PTSD. You're not playing. They fall behind 5-0. There's an unbelievable brawl, including a goalie fight. Tokarski has to come back in the game, and they come back and win 6-5. So to me, that's a perfect example of the stories in this book, where all sorts of craziness happens off the ice, and then one of the wildest comebacks really in hockey history.
Darren, Dustin Tokarski, Watson, Saskatchewan, home of the world's largest Santa Claus, right?
No, Watson.
There you go.
Watrous, not Watson.
Oh, it's Watrous. Okay, so I get the two mixed, the two W's. Yeah.
Tucker. I never knew his nickname was Tucker. Tucker.
There's always a Saskatchewan
Ticker.
Connection.
Ticker.
You'll figure it out after we're done. From one of our viewers, James, anything you couldn't fit in the book that you want to tell us viewers today?
I mean, there were if there was a story that I couldn't fit in the book, then I can't tell you today. If that, I included a lot of things in there that I could probably not tell on TSN. And so I wouldn't tell on the Rod Peterson show either. But there's, so there's, it's funny when you're writing a book like that, I want kids to be able to read it. So there's, some great PG stories in there, but there's some that walk the fine line as well that I probably couldn't tell on TSN.
Well, of course, that's what makes them hockey stories. I'm just looking up Dustin Tokarski. No,
Watson? I just looked it up.
It is Watson. I had it.
I thought you said Watrous. That's
why. I didn't.
Well, okay.
definitely Ticker, too, the nickname. I got confused with my Darcy Tucker story that's also in Ticker Tucker. A lot going on.
what a beauty.
What
a beauty. Obviously, the title for the book was pretty easy to come with, wasn't it, James?
I actually struggled with that. Because I didn't know what it's, the byline's hockey's greatest untold stories, and that's what the publisher wanted to call it. And I'm like, I don't want to call it that. That's just, there needs to be a line there. And I guess somewhere in the middle of last winter, it kind of hit me that, my son was using the word, all the kids use it these days, and the spitting chiclets kind of guys. And I know it's been around forever, Don Cherry's used it, but it's a really identifiable word with hockey. And I think I was doing one of the stories. I think I was doing actually Paul Bissonnette as a chapter in the book about getting kicked out of a hotel, almost getting his team kicked out of a hotel in Winnipeg. And I said, that pretty much perfectly encapsulates almost every story in the book or every character in the book. And there's serious stories as well. It's not all slapstick, but hey, that's what the book is. It's full of beauties, right?
You know what? It sounds absolutely amazing. And what I've learned in the pandemic is people cannot get enough hockey stories. And it's mostly fans, like your consumers, your viewers. Like for me, I don't listen to Spittin' Chiclets because I think I'll just pick up the phone and call my buddies. I'll get exactly what I'm getting on Spittin' Chiclets. But I get the allure of it. And your book will be the exact same thing. So can you just, before we let you go, where can people pick it up, James?
Pretty much everywhere you can buy books. So your Amazon, if you're an Amazon person or an Indigo person, or you go to your local chapters and hopefully whatever your local favorite bookstore is, it's pretty much everywhere right now. And I hope people really dig it. It's my dig it. Boy, nobody said that since the 70s. I spent a good hard year on this. My last books, I wrote about myself last time, which was a really painful process, but it was easy because you just sit down and write. Where this time, trying to get Sidney Crosby and Connor McDavid and Bobby Orr and Wayne Gretzky and all these guys on the phone for an hour was a real challenge. But I'm really happy with it. And I actually think, and this is going to sound like a sales pitch, but I think it's a great book for people who love hockey. But even if you don't love hockey, I think because there are so many stories off the ice, if you just like good stories, I think people will like it. Or dig it.
Outstanding. I can't wait to get my hands on it. Perfect Christmas gift. Wink, wink to my family.
We have thank one you, sir. On your way, buddy. I have one sent.
Oh, good. Can't wait. Even better. Cheaper for my family. James, Thank you. Good luck, my friend, and stay safe out there.
Thanks so much for having me on, guys. All the best to everyone out there.
James Duthie of TSN joining us and his book, Beauties, in store now. Viewer Takeover coming up next. It's the RP Show. You're watching across North America on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to this show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
I don't know where the time went. We're already into Viewer Takeover segment. It's the final segment of the program. Coming up in hour two, Nick Kyprios will join us. Dave Scrooge, the head coach of the Regina Pats Hockey Club, and Barrett Croft, the head coach of the Trinity Western Spartans U Sports hockey team in Langley, BC. He's got breaking news for us, but we call this Viewer Takeover for a reason. Ray in Toronto writes this on the Prairie Mobile text line. Ray in Toronto from the 416 says, "Hey Rod, I enjoyed your XFL talk yesterday. Wondering if your RP crew could get Mark Trestman on your show. Would be great to hear some CFL, XFL, and NFL stories." That would be good. Mark doesn't really love interviews, but we can try. Mm-hmm. He's been to hell and back here the last few years, but we'll file it. I'd like to get Mark Trestman on too. From Bob in Grand Prairie, Alberta, I had said my top seven NHL teams earlier. Kipper, if you're watching, can I get your top seven Canadian NHL teams while we're at it? They told me Kipper's logged in. Bob in Grand Prairie says his are the Oilers, Flames, Canucks, Canadiens, Jets, and then the Leafs and Senators. And regarding David Braley, he says, "If we all had 10% of the love and passion that man had for the CFL, the league would be in much better shape than it is right now." Take it for what it is. Jamie in Halifax writes in, "Hey, Rod, I hope you and Dupes and the crew are able to pay your respects to Joey Moss on today's show. What an inspiration in the locker room for the Oilers organization. He wore the Oilers patch prouder than anyone else did." I would agree. I wish you were old enough. Maybe you're happy that you're not old enough to remember that Wayne Gretzky brought Joey Moss to the Oilers. Wayne left, Joey stayed. Right? And became a fixture.
Yeah.
So, lots going on in the program today. Trying to find a silver lining of what was just a really crappy Black Monday in Canadian sports, if I may. Correct?
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's tough. You know, two guys just so instrumental. And if you watch see the outpouring of support on social media, it's not coming from Edmonton and coming from BC. It's coming from across North America.
Mm-hmm.
That's the impact that they have. They may be in Vancouver on the coast. They may be in Edmonton and in Alberta. But the impact is, I mean, it's all across the continent.
We're going to re-up on our quick six show topics coming up in hour two. I don't even have in there the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. I mean, this morning, I've become that fan where I don't even want to watch the coverage anymore. You know why crappy teams don't want the coverage, because it's like picking at a carcass. You know, I'm tired of the drama that's going on with the Cowboys. Mike McCarthy, I don't like him. I never liked him. I don't think they should have hired him as a head coach. Their locker room's coming apart. They got anonymous players telling the media that the coaches were unprepared. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. Your quarterback gets knocked out the other night. You saw what Mike McCarthy said after the game? How come nobody came and defended him? You want these guys to play right on the edge, just dialed right up, frothing mad. But then you go and take a swing or swing your helmet, and then you get kicked out of the game, and you would have said what an idiot he was. Right? So what did you want them to do? Go up and get in the face of John Bostic? Like, McCarthy, quit calling out your players. And by the way, do it in the locker room,
well,
not at the post-game news conference.
And if your players, you know, come up and stand up for your quarterback, or if they don't stand up for your quarterback, whatever way they lean, that's the culture that you've created in that team, right?
Oh.
So whatever they do is a reflection, I believe, of the culture, you know, of the organization.
Dude, I don't know why I just veered off to America's team, because we haven't even talked about it. But anyway,
it was inevitable.
Nick Kyprios next hour, Dave Struch and Barrett Croft. Thank you to James Duthie and Matt Baker for hour one. Let's keep it rolling on Facebook Live. For the rest of you, we'll see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here on Game Plus TV. Let's go beat up DuPont.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.